You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on!
And let's get it on, we shall. It is Wrestling Observer Live. I'm Mike Sempervivi here with you in the driver's seat, sitting in for Brian Alvarez. And I'll be here with you for the next hour talking professional wrestling and mixed martial arts. Tune in, iHeart, American Forces Radio, over-the-air affiliates, sportsbyline.com, SiriusXM, or via podcast. However you're choosing to hang out with us today, we'd like to thank you very much. I say we because it's Friday. I've lost the ability to speak, but it is Friday. That's how happy I am it's Friday. And that means Jim Valley's going to be joining me coming up after the break. At least I hope he is. And with him, there are never any shortage of things to talk about. Tonight, the third week of WWE SmackDown on Fox. They have definitely shined up the show a little bit by announcing a really glossy main event. Shinsuke Nakamura will defend the WWE Intercontinental Championship against the big dog, Roman Reigns. Not too bad. Now, the first week of SmackDown on Fox was pretty good. Last week, not so much. In that time, Eric Bischoff has been fired. Will that mean anything for the show? I guess we'll have to see. But if the reports that Dave and Brian would talk about were correct, he was spending a lot of time in catering anyway. And the people that are still there are the ones that are actually running the show anyway. So we'll have to see what happens. There's a whole preview up on WWE.com that we can run through. A ton of stuff happened this week. It's just been ridiculous. Third straight week of the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT. We have the ratings for those shows. Bushiroad, the parent company of New Japan, has bought Stardom, arguably the highest profile women's wrestling company in the world alongside Shimmer. WWE wanted to buy it because they want to buy a lot of Japanese promotions, not the least of which was Pro Wrestling Noah, but they didn't get a chance to buy either one. We've got Jushin Thunder Liger announcing his final date in the United States on November 9th. MLW's got a women's division now. Just a ridiculous amount of stuff. And oh yeah, guess what? It's Open Line Fridays. So after the break, I'll be telling you how you can phone in. Don't mess this up. Don't make Brian upset. We'll be back. Wrestling Observer Live. Welcome back to the show. Mike Sempervivi here with you, Wrestling Observer Live, the show that's always here with you. It's Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 Pacific, 10 UTC. During the week, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, 7 UTC. First-run replays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 West. And on Saturdays, you get to hear this gentleman host his version of Wrestling Observer Live at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. Pacific Time, Mr. Jim Valley. And Jim, I introduce that as if you do a completely, massively different type of production, but it's pretty much the same thing you get here, right?
We just complain about WWE. That's all we do. No. We do other things as well, but with SmackDown now on Fox, that gives me a lot of fresh content to talk about, and it's a lot of fun. I think we'll probably cover, obviously, SmackDown on Fox, probably talk about the Stardom stuff, and just there's been a ton of stuff happening this week.
This has just been crazy. It has really been nuts. And it's been one of those things that in the moment, I was thinking about it a little bit earlier on today, where it's like, where is this one going to fall in the history books? And I know, like, well, week three isn't as flashy as week one or anything like that. But we, the ratings, I guess that story is going to have to be told later on. And how this whole Bushiroad Stardom story plays out as well, too, is going to be interesting. But I think this was also the first week a lot of people actually that are not heavily tuned in and underneath the wrestling bubble got a chance to hear that WWE has been very, very active in Japan. And this is something that they have been trying to do since like 2004. This is not a new concept. What they've done in the UK, they've been wanting to do in Japan too. But hearing that Stardom was looked at by WWE, hearing that Noah was looked at by WWE, amongst others that are rumored to be named and are floating out there on Twitter and in many elements. I think a lot of people had a come to Jesus this week with what WWE is trying to do over in Japan. And I wonder where, again, this week is going to stand in the history of time. But I guess the talking about the two biggest stories coming out of there, the obviously the Stardom deal, and I don't want to steal any of your thunder from what you were going to talk about tomorrow, but I would love to get your thoughts on not only that, but as far as what WWE is looking to do with an NXT Japan.
Yeah, you know, Fumi Saito, who is, you know, the guy in wrestling in Japan. For a while now, we've done the Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling podcast. And even if you've never watched Stardom, you have no plans, you're like, what's a Stardom? Go listen to the show for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. It's he and Dave and me getting in there when I need to for about an hour and 20 minutes dissecting the whole situation. This is about business. This is about politics. This, I mean, there is a battle going on in Japan. And what's fascinating is, I don't know, not that long ago, the UK was on fire. And WWE, NXT is there now, and the climate has dramatically changed. And I think now that people are looking at Japan, and you know, Japan is a different culture. And I think people think that the challenge for WWE will be adapting to the culture and trying to blend in. And that is going to be very, very difficult because WWE likes to do it the WWE way. But Stardom is a women's promotion, small promotion, maybe five employees in the front office. You know, Io Shirai came from there. Kairi Sane came from there. Tony Storm has been through there, and they've got an amazing training program. So many women come in, they're at one level. You see, by the time they're done with their tour, they are at another level. There's something about what they do where you just can't help but get better. They do, you know, they draw 300, 4, 5, 6, maybe up to 1,100 once a month at Corican Hall sometimes. They do fine. It's not major, but it's fine. And so WWE has been in there and has tried to buy Stardom to use it to establish NXT. And here's something else. Stardom may be the only promotion in the world that has had wrestlers on its cards from WWE, wrestlers on its cards from Ring of Honor, from AEW. Bea Priestley's with Riho is Stardom. So they have, they're small, but they do have, there's a sphere of influence there. And they sat down with Rossi Ogawa, who is sort of like a Paul Heyman of Japan, women's wrestling of Japan, and they offered to buy Stardom. He wasn't looking to sell. And here's one of the big takeaways from this story, from the podcast that I talked about. He asked what their plan was for turning Stardom into NXT Japan. They did not have a plan. There was no plan in place. I don't know, but it sounds to me like WWE just wants to disrupt is what that sounds like to me.
That sounds exactly like, and not a surprise. And obviously the right move was made. And you brought up some of the names. I mean, Nikki Cross, Shayna Baszler, Dakota Kai. I mean, just you keep running down the line of people who have appeared in Stardom. And I think it would probably shock some people to find out that maybe that promotion is that small with the amount of attention it gets, but it's much like Shimmer here in the United States, where Dave Perezak is pretty much the chief cook and bottle washer and does everything for that promotion. And for the amount of attention that it gets, it's frankly a shame for the amount of talent that he has showcased and the amount of opportunities that he has been able to give out, not only to people here, but also in tandem with Stardom and with other promotions in Japan. And I do have a concern as a longtime Japanese wrestling fan about WWE coming in and stirring up a hornet's nest and possibly looking to buy a promotion. But I also look at the promotions as being a longtime fan there, and I ask you, since they were already turned down by Noah, they were turned down by Stardom, I look at a company like a DDT, and I can certainly say that DDT absolutely does not need WWE whatsoever. All Japan's value to WWE, I think, would be minimal without the fact that they, I'm assuming, one would at least assume that they, any promotion that they would get while they're turning it into NXT Japan, they would love to have those tapes in, as part of their library. And with All Japan, you don't get that. And so you start looking at the landscape and you start wondering what WWE can do, and it starts to thin out a little bit for me. So my concern level starts to drop a little bit, but am I lulling myself into a false sense of security that WWE can't really do a big number on stirring up a hornet's nest, if not short term, but maybe over time?
Fumi Saito, my friend at Pacific Rim, he doesn't think that they're going to get very far. They're obviously, Rossi Ogawa, the owner, talked about it, and in the end, he went with a Japanese company as opposed to another company. You know, there's a lot of nationalism. There's a lot of things that, you know, I am no expert.
It's a massive cultural difference, though.
There are massive cultural differences. So I just don't know how far they're going to be able to go, how long it's going to take. And if they don't have a plan in place, I'm not exactly sure what the goal is. I mean, they have a lot of the best Japanese wrestlers right now. They can get them. The more I think about it, I just keep coming back to, this is to disrupt the situation.
It's kind of crazy, too, because I think, you know, what could they possibly do? Who could they get? And we're pushing up against break here in a little bit, but there are a couple names I want to throw at you as far as their best chances of possibly trying to get a foothold. Again, business-wise, it's going to be a completely different story, but at least as far as trying to get a dojo, trying to get a Performance Center Japan off the ground, I want to throw some names at you about that may possibly be out there and may be at least accessible to WWE and may be a building block, or at least the start of being a building block for what they want to do. Even though it may be a crapshoot and we may be looking way too off into the future here, they're obviously trying to make moves and they're trying to do certain things. So going to be interesting to kind of pick your brain and find out exactly what you think about some of these people that I'm throwing out there as possibilities for WWE to be interested in if they do in NXT Japan. Be right back on Wrestling Observer Live. All right, back on the show. Mike Sempervivi here with you alongside Jim Valley. This is Wrestling Observer Live. It is Friday. It's Open Line Friday. Before we get back to the conversation I was having with Jim about the possibility of an NXT Japan and WWE trying to make inroads into Japan, we will take it to the phone lines, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Ryan in Cumberland, Maryland. Ryan, how are you?
Good. Actually, I have a question about this Japanese connection with WWE. Sasha Banks, whenever the Dick Togo is promotioned, does WWE work with that promotion? And has there been any superstars besides Sasha Banks that have been going over there to train? Because it seems like WWE already has some connections over there if they're letting their talent go over there.
When's the last time Sasha Banks went to wrestle for Dick Togo? And was her name Sasha Banks at the time?
No, she didn't wrestle for him. She just trained. They talked about it on the pay-per-view a couple weeks ago, how she went to Japan and trained during her sabbatical.
So I think I got the impression that was something she did on her own. There's a WWE connection there.
Yeah, I would think she'd have to get permission to do something like that, because that seems like she's getting involved with someone else's promotion.
I think that was when they were fighting, not fighting, is when that was going on.
And it's not like they can stop her from going to a gym or going to work out. You can't stop her from doing something like that, especially with an unaffiliated company. But, Ryan, I thank you so very, very much for that phone call. But, yes, I am aware that WWE may have a little bit more inroads into Japan through other people. Jinsei Shinzaki, who played Hakushi in the WWF gym, and I kind of want to go back to what I was talking about before the break of, let's say they can actually try to get something established or to try to get something established in Japan. It's going to be very difficult from a lot of different aspects, but one of the biggest is going to be the fact that loyalty to your home promotion is very, very important. So I'm figuring if WWE is going to have any success at all, they're going to rely heavy on some of the people that they have working for them now. People like possibly Akira Tozawa, definitely people like William Regal and those types of individuals to try to make as many inroads as they possibly can with people in Japan. But with Jinsei Shinzaki, they already have a relationship with him. And he obviously has a relationship with Mako Sanemura, a person who they are very, very familiar with and is a idol to many of the women that they already have wrestling for them. She was invited to the Mae Young Classic, and obviously her reputation amongst wrestling fans, she is as good as any man wrestling in the world right now, I believe. Is she step one, or would she be candidate one that you would pick up and call on the phone if you were WWE? Because it seems as if you've lost out on Stardom, your best bet would probably be go after Mako Sanemura, try to make inroads into Sendai, and at the very least, just get her.
That probably is your best bet. I know some, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be some kind of expert. I don't know if anybody is who's not living in Japan, I think if you can't have Stardom, that may be the best opportunity. But again, if they want to, if the goal is to attract talent, if the goal is to build Japanese talent with the WWE style and do it in Japan, they need to come up with a plan. They need to map everything out and then go in, but it seems like they're just going in, which I'm not sure exactly what that means as far as are they just going to go in, get everything set up and work from there see what they have. Or again, is it going to be what we've seen in the UK where it's just going to be there to try to disrupt the situation in the Japanese wrestling scene?
Yeah, I'm not sure what Shinzaki does right now, to be honest. But it stuck out to me. That was one that kind of was foremost in my mind. And I, from there, you have a lot of names. Again, there's, I guess, a lot of names you can throw out there that they could possibly talk to who are relatively unaffiliated, but. You think of names like your Daisuke Sakamoto's and your Okabayashi's and the people that are primarily with Big Japan, but then also float around to All Japan and who are the quote unquote, the freest of the free people, your Jun Kasai's, even people like that, that they can kind of, float almost anywhere. They're obviously interested in Jiro, who spent, a good deal of time in DDT Big Japan and All Japan, if I'm not mistaken. There's somebody that he's tried out for them over there, and it seems to be a candidate and one of those people that they have in their pocket to call in case things move forward. If you had to take, I guess, in fantasy land, you get a Mako Sanemura, it's like, okay, well, that's step one. She's got credibility. Maybe she can, help us and try to build on the men's side. I mean, realistically, with who's out there and who's unaffiliated, because again, brands mean a lot, loyalty means a lot over there. If they can try to get anybody realistically, who is a name or two that you can think of off the top of your head that may be a good fit for them to work with William Regal or whoever it is moving forward?
Fumi has talked about Dave Finley. He might help. Rather than the name, here's I don't know. I think you could pick you know, Antonio Inoki himself. But if you are not going to listen to his advice on the culture and what you need to do in the best way possible as to not to offend or do something wrong, then it doesn't matter who you have. And I don't know that WWE has ever done that. You know, they believe what they believe, and they believe they're right, and they move forward.
Are you telling me that WWF All Japan joint show was a complete disaster backstage? Is that what you're telling me back in the day?
Exactly. I just, you know, does it really matter? If they're not going to listen, who cares?
I'm trying to make radio here, Jim. I mean, look, they're trying here. They're having announcements. Dave is announcing. You know, Dave, again, it really surprised me how many people were surprised by hearing the news about WWE being shot down for Stardom and going out there and being on the prowl. I mean, you know, they are at least trying this. So, and
here's what I think is exciting. You know, they've been putting things together, Stardom, since Io Shirai and Kairi Sane left. Those are the two big stars. And they have put together a really good roster. But in the last few months, they have signed full-time a young woman named Hana Kimura. She's very pretty, but there are many beautiful people in wrestling, and it doesn't matter. She has a charisma and a presence. She is a star. And we have seen, I mean, I don't want to say that it's huge, but on the Stardom level, when you go from 300 tickets to 400 tickets, that's something. She's driven business. You can point to when they hired her full-time, repackaged her, and featured her full-time, there was an increase in business. So there's how long this lasts, it's really too soon to tell. And if it's something, it's really early. But what This deal with Stardom and Bushiroad, this could be where Stardom is just a nice part of the family with Bushiroad, or something could take off. There is, on a small level, the beginning of some momentum. So the thing to watch out for here is there some tinder and some flint? Is this going to light a spark that's going to lead to a fire? The pieces are there. Anything could happen. I'm just saying, let's watch and see what happens. This could be a Grand Slam home run. This could be a single.
And, you know, with Hana Kimura, too, it's not as if she's just a pretty face and a little bit of a blue chipper. She's second generation to a woman who was insane, Kyoko Kimura, who was talk about a ball of charisma. You know, she was another one, just absolutely. And it comes through her genes, and that's what really, to me, separates Kimura from, like, a – you know, a Natsu or somebody like that who, you know, is more there for the idol, is somebody that's more there for the looks. You know, Kimura seems to be the best possible hybrid of everything, and she has the possibility to not only be a star here, but if, as Riho is showing in AEW, I mean, which has blown me away in the fact that she is as popular as she is. I mean, this was not like I was down on her going into the thing, but I am just amazed in the way that crowd has taken to her. With the amount of attention that Bushiroad, in theory, could help give Stardom down the line, we may be looking at that next breakout superstar in the same way that we felt like we had when we had Kana and the Shirai sisters kind of riding high there for a while, you know, as Stardom was introduced and in the days before Stardom was introduced. Because that's kind of the same feeling I get out of her. That's the same feeling I got out of Kana. Am I insane about thinking about that? Because they it feels a lot the same. And by Kana, by the way, I do mean Asuka.
Bushiroad has got the ability, the resources to get them on television, to get them in movies, to get them on game shows, to get them out there. You know, in the history of Japan, there have been times where Japanese women were more popular than the men. There are famous cards in the Tokyo Dome, all women, if you don't know that. If you look at what has happened in Japan and the culture, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying that the climate could be right for this to happen, and it's something that we have to watch for.
Jim, you did a great job there. That was perfect. Man, you are a professional to write this right up against the break. Hey, Jaime, I know you're hiding there on the line. We will get to you as well as what's going to be taking place on SmackDown on Fox tonight. Get Jim's thoughts on that as well as yours. 1-800-878-PLAY. Give us a call. Wrestling Observer Live. Back on the show, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi and Jim Valley here with you. Spent a lot of time trying to play with Jim about all this WWE talk, and that's really because, in Japan at least, because I don't want to talk about WWE domestically. SmackDown is tonight. And I don't mind checking out Shinsuke Nakamura and Roman Reigns. I think that'll probably be pretty good. The rest of this thing I'm not so sold on, but Jim, what do you think about that match announced for tonight? And what do you think about the hopeful for WWE rebound of SmackDown tonight after a rough week last week?
You know, Mike, I look back on wrestling and there were three wonderful peaks in wrestling. 1985 to 1990, 1997, 2001, and 2 weeks ago. It was a beautiful time. Do you remember 2 weeks ago how beautiful it was? With all of that wrestling. And what a great peak in the period of wrestling. I never understood why everyone thought there was going to be such a big boom. I don't think the average person thinks Fox is bigger. Yeah, Fox reaches more people, but you still have to want the wrestling. When they aired the first night, my brother called me, who's a little older than I am, so and he doesn't watch wrestling. He looks down on me for watching this stuff. Join the club. So he had to tell me all about it, about Shane McMahon and all the stuff he was doing and Brock Lesnar, and he enjoyed it. I was like, are you going to watch it again? He goes, yeah, if nothing else is on. I think the platform helps, but I don't know that there's enough going on with the product that's going to hook people. I think tonight we'll just, at some point we're going to level out, and I think that's just going to be it.
Well, look at the AEW and NXT ratings, and obviously it's 3 weeks in. We're way too early to really decide on anything here, but I will say this preemptively, because again, I've said wait until the beginning of next year, the first quarter of next year. Then you can kind of really judge where you're at, but I will fall over shocked if this is pretty much the number forever. I mean, yes, you can go up, you can go down a little bit, but you know, around this realm, if this is what it is, I'm not going to be shocked whatsoever, because watching the first 3 weeks of AEW, they're not going to get older wrestling fans and bring them back. They're not. There's going to be aspects of that show, and there will be storylines on that show that they can be drawn into, but I think as a whole, that ain't it for them, okay? And the same way that NXT, as far as those people who are over 50 that are watching WWE, those people are going to stay. WWE drawing younger fans, that's not going to happen. And that's where AEW, even though their demos are down slightly, even with baseball being rained out this past Wednesday night, I mean, the demos have dribbled down there a little bit, but the reality is, I think they are still, I'm far more bullish, obviously, on them in that age group than I am anywhere else. But I've gotten that feeling, and I could be dead ass wrong about this, Jim, but I just don't think that a fan of a certain age that dropped off after the Monday Night War era, or even more so dropped off before it, that's going to be the product for them. And I don't think those people will ever come back to wrestling unless you probably physically force them into hitting YouTube and actually watching NWA Power.
AEW has got something you can't buy. The fans are passionate about it and they identify with this. This is a cause. They are part of this and they are supporting it. And they are willing this to succeed. They've done a great job. I'm not saying the product is bad at all. But you can have the best product in the world. If you don't have this kind of passion, then they have what anybody could want in any line, any sports, any entertainment. It's just a matter of, you know, if it hasn't grown as far as the TV numbers, I'm a little surprised. But, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. And there's, hey, Mike, are you looking at Twitter?
I am not, but I can be. What's up?
I have some very exciting news.
Oh, what's that?
We got Jordan Elliott just tweeted at us. Uh-huh. These Semper Vivis and Jim Valley Wrestling Observer Lives are cool. I'm starting to ship. And, Mike, we have our first celebrity couple name. You and I are hashtag Semper Valley.
I like it.
Love it.
I like it. We need T-shirts in this. Maybe finally now we can actually get some T-shirts actually up in that F4WOnline.com T-shirt shop there.
It's as big as Shirty V.
See, you're going to have a whole line of them coming. I'm just desperate for this one, but I'll accept that hashtag. We will now tack that on to Fridays here at Wrestling Observer Live. But, yeah, I was hoping, thank God it was that and not something, like, tragic happening on Twitter or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, hey, look, if you really, Jim, I you don't want to talk. If you want to talk about AEW, do you want to talk about Marco Stunt? Did you talk to your children and ask them what they thought about Marco Stunt wrestling? Because that seemed to be all of the rage on Twitter this week, were people debating where Marco Stunt stands. And obviously that's very, very short, but where he stands in the realm of wrestling. Is he like Rey Mysterio? Is he not like Rey Mysterio? Is he a disgrace? What is Marco Stunt? And I just think that Marco Stunt, to me, is a popular undercard figure and a babyface for fans of AEW. And I sometimes think that maybe we're thinking way, way too much about this. What say you?
I think if it's over and people like it, then it's fine. Marco Stunt has got charisma, and he's a small guy, and if he's one of the only small guys on the roster, he can get over. One of the frustrations I always had, and I think a lot of people have, was with Rey Mysterio. Small guy, he's a legend, but he's been held back and booked so terribly and really abused by the creative process his entire career, and he's still an all-time great. Can you imagine where Rey Mysterio would be if he would have been booked properly? It's ridiculous. If people want it, then just give it to them. I don't know if it matters if it's realistic. It just matters what people will buy.
Well, it should.
I think they buy Marco Stunt. What's wrong with that?
Well, here's the thing. I think it should. And I think him kicking out of, I can't remember what move it was, but the package where he did kick out, I thought that was a kick out for no reason. That was just a kick out. So everybody goes, I don't know. I was not a fan of that one. Now, with that said, does that kill the Lucha Brothers? Of course it doesn't kill the Lucha Brothers. Absolutely not. Do I think Marco Stunt is a little, does it get a little ridiculous at times for me? A little bit, but here's the thing. He gets thrown into people and the moves happen. It's not like he's going out there and going collar and elbow with somebody and driving them back into the corner or something like that. I mean, basically, Jack Perry was doing with him what Luchasaurus does with Jack Perry, which is basically throw him into moves, and they just decided to go with that against the Lucha Brothers. And, I mean, you can debate if they should have had somebody else in that position, if somebody else could have gotten over or helped somebody else out a little bit more in there, or just had Jack Perry take a beating and then try to rally back or something like that. But, you know, I don't think the addition to him in the match, even though I think it may be, I guess, somewhat jarring to, I guess, a random fan tuning in, I don't think it's as really mind, considering what WWE has done. I mean, I don't think anything that took place on AEW, including with Marco Stunt, would stand out as anything more ridiculous than what WWE has done with any number of, you know, short people or mismatched people over time. You know what I mean?
I think that it got over. I think that as long as it's over and the crowd likes it, then who's to say? If they're buying Marco Stunt and they're paying money for Marco Stunt, then it's fine. If it hurts business, then there's your answer. But I don't.
And you know what, Jim? It should be noted, it's the one segment. That segment did not lose viewers. That is one of two segments that did not dip at all during the show. So if nothing else, you can't say that it's a draw or anything like that, but it certainly wasn't something that sunk the show.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. I really didn't. If he's very likable. I think people are behind him. It's so funny. You look at Marco Stunt and the way they, and we're sitting here talking about him. They just did what they did. It just happened. We interpret this ourselves. We enjoyed it. It got over. It's done. They don't beat us over the head with Shorty S, and he's short, and short jokes, and short stack, and you get the idea. And they don't sit there and go, oh, look, kids, he's just like you. He's a superhero. I know this. They just let it happen naturally. It's the difference between the two presentations. I think, aside from the booking, I think we're all being tired. We're all tired of being talked down to.
Yeah, exactly. That's very much so. And it's okay to give fans what they want sometimes. It is okay to do that. You know, you don't have to torture them all the time by having their favorites lose in their home city or taking a guy like Chad Gable and calling him Shorty G, which, you know, nobody wanted. Nobody except for Vince McMahon thought that was a good idea or wanted that at all. And it doesn't help anybody. So, yeah, and that's where AEW, even if they're faking it, again, they are manipulating the ride, which is exactly what you want to do. That's exactly what professional wrestling used to do, was manipulate the ride, not hold everybody gangland style on a hostage journey, which that's what WWE has felt like for a long time. And there are people, not only wrestlers, but obviously fans, who have seen the ability to get off of that train and have gone and done that. And this is where AEW and all these other promotions have been able to succeed. You know, WWE had its boot on the neck of the professional wrestling business, and it was only them that ended up holding, you know, letting everybody push it off of them. And they can only really blame themselves. If you want to check in with everybody, check in with us, you can. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Jimmy, say you got a. Do you have another message, or was that the message you were talking about before from Twitter? There,
if we got a moment, I got this last night. It says, this is real. It says, hi Jim, just want to say how much I enjoy your work with the Observer. You seem to be the only one that has any form of reality. Very nice. You and Fumi, of course. Also want to let you know that I was recently in a bad car accident and broke both my legs. I broke my ankle and my tibia and my right foot. And in my left, it was my kneecap. With this, it compounds all my challenges because I was born disabled. I'd like to say I was blessed to be born disabled. His condition has been a blessing, not so much of one, but wrestling has been the constant, and especially now with the feeling of not knowing what could happen given any moment. Sorry to ramble. I love whatever pro wrestling is. I know people argue all the time. I'm of the opinion it is what it is, and I just love it. And he wanted a special shout out, so there it is, a special shout out to Jonathan Owen in Delaware. That made my whole day.
That's awesome. And we'll be back, Wrestling Observer Live.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back on the show, Wrestling Observer Live. Final segment here to put a bow on this thing. Mike Sempervivi and Jim Valley. And Jim, I was going to run down SmackDown, but I'm not going to do that. I don't care about that right now. It is messages like that that are just completely awesome, because, you know, at any point in my life, anytime there has been strife or anything like that, from the time I was a little kid, you know, you go and you get withdrawn, and everybody has their thing. And for me, that thing was always pro wrestling. That it was always there, that and radio, you know, being able to stay up at night, you know, watch Wrestling Spotlight when it came on at 10 o'clock, being out there and being able to tune in different radio stations like WFAN in New York and things like that. And it just, those things have been my passion and have always been there. And it was always incredible to hear somebody who, you know, not only thinks the same way, but also finds entertainment in what we're doing. And it keeps them going even in the hardest of times. And that was a really awesome letter that you talked about there.
You know, Mike, I have a fear I'm going to die. And St. Peter's going to be there with a clock. He's going to go, really, Jim? You had this beautiful gift of life, and you spent 1,000,000 hours of it watching pro wrestling? This is what you do? Other people cured cancer. Other people fed starving children. And I could point to this message and go, well, I did something right. So thank you, Jonathan. That was really sweet. We wish you all the best. I hope you get better soon.
And I hope when I get to St. Peter, he doesn't judge me for some of the thoughts that I had when it came to Sherry Martel when she would wear some of those tops. But that's a story for another day, and we will take our minds.
SummerSlam 92.
As a healthy, healthy woman, what a great worker she was too. Just absolutely awesome. But hey, we've reached the end of the show. But don't worry, we're always here with you. Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern. During the week, 3 p.m. Eastern, and tomorrow. Get to hear that guy again. Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, returns 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific. Tune in, iHeart, American Forces Radio, Sirius XM Fight Nation 156, or Dan Patrick 211. Sports Byline's where you find it. It is Wrestling Observer Live. Talk to you again after a while.